And Kami Denle led District 3 at 50%. Denle seems poised to replace the Chico mayor, leading by 1,583 votes. The Chico Enterprise Record has a list of all local measures and their local candidates for office in Northern California that can be viewed online at chicoer.com. For KZFR 90.1 FM, I'm Matt Fidler, reporting from Chico.
This is KZFR 90.1 Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, where we'll be talking about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival with sponsor Alan Hawthorne. We also want to remind you that this is Pledge Drive on KZFR. KZFR brings us together, which we desperately need after our controversial and disputed and kind of vitriolically filled election. We bring you together without becoming socially distanced. We give you an easy way to enjoy unique music, learn about important issues, but we can't do it without you. Please give us a call or log into the KZFR website during this hour. Show your support for KZFR and for Ecotopia. You can go to kzfr.org to make your pledge or give us a call at 601-340-KZFR. That's 601-340-5937.
Everybody, hear the calling. Listen closely to our plea. It's time to rescue the living waters. Save our rivers, lakes, and seas. Tide to change are rising higher. Waves of hope keep rolling in. Come on board, we sail together, save our waters, save our planet, let's begin. Let's begin. We'll be sailing the great adventure on a course, straight and true, into a future fraught with promise. A better world for me and you. Tides of change are rising higher. Waves of hope keep rolling in. So come on board. We sail together. Save our waters, save our planet. Let's begin. Let's begin. Change are rising higher. Waves of hope keep rolling in. So come on board. We sail together. Save our waters, save our planet. Let's begin. Let's get started. Let's get moving. Spend our treasure.
Hi, this is Ecotopia on KZFR. I'm Stephen Schutte. We're exploring ecosystems, environmental, social, technological. We're also urging you to pledge support for KZFR tonight. Give us a call at 601-340-KZFR. That's 601-340-5937 to support community radio.
And this is Susan Schutte. Tonight on Ecotopia, we'll be talking with Alan Hawthorne. We talk with Alan every year about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival that will be online this year. This is sponsored by the Friends of Butte Creek, and so we'll also be talking about the work that they've been doing over the past year or so, or really since the campfire. There's been a lot of work in Butte Creek, so we'll talk with Alan about that as well.
Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR listeners and by the COVID-conscious Chico Certified Farmers Markets, with year-round markets Wednesdays at the North Valley Plaza and Saturdays in Chico at 4th and Wall. The Chico Certified Farmers Markets, bringing food lovers and farmers together since 1980. And we want to remind you that the opinions expressed on Ecotopia do not necessarily express the views of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or programmers. We'll take a short break and be back to talk with Alan Hartorn. In the meantime, you can call 601-340-5937 to make a pledge. Your favorite KZFR shows are hosted by local people, teachers, caregivers, activists, musicians, bartenders, maybe even your neighbor. These people volunteer their time and knowledge to bring you the most unique programming possible, but we can't do it without you. KZFR represents the community. We're guided by the spirit of the First Amendment. We are united in our diversity. Go to KZFR.org today to pledge or give us a call at KZFR 601-340-5937.
You're listening to Ecotopia, and with us on the phone now, let me make sure I have them.
Melina Watts and Alan
Hello.
Harper.
Hi.
Okay, there's Melina.
Okay, let me make sure I got Alan.
I'm here too.
All right. Awesome. Okay, now we have you both.
So, Melina, you are the public relations coordinator for the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. We've had Alan on the program, I think, every year that the festival has been in existence. Tell us a little bit about the one coming up this year and how it's going to be different.
Well, I might have to say the C word to start this conversation, COVID-19.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the past, Alan and everyone at Friends of Butte Creek had this beautiful, very public gathering where we all enjoyed movies and conversation and got energized about the opportunities that we have for conservation in the community. We can't do that now. So we're really blessed that there's an opportunity to do this Wild and Scenic Film Festival online. And what's really fun about it is you can buy your tickets online, invite as many people as you can fit into your living room that you can keep socially distant, and then have a meal and enjoy the movie in the comfort of your own home. And what's super exciting is having attended some of these Wild and Scenic Film Festivals online in 2020, you end up with guests from all over the country, and in our case, it's going to be from all over the world. And so you do this live chat on the side while you're enjoying the movies or in the lobby in the beginning or in the intermission, and you get to connect with people from everywhere. So we have a filmmaker coming from New Zealand named Karthik, who is actually originally from India. And we have some other guests coming from Detroit who are growing honey in urban lots. A delightful couple who's invented this business out of whole cloth and are really working to stop the reduction of the bee population. So it's going to be filmmakers and people from everywhere.
So I just want to get a hold of the technology of this. So I buy my ticket. And then you send me a link. Is it a Zoom conference or is it some other way of connecting everyone?
The South Yuba River Citizens League is the organization that has created the Wild and Scenic Film Festival opportunity. And they are working with a tech company in San Francisco that creates something that is familiar like Zoom, except the quality is much higher of the film, so that we're going to be able to see films at the highest possible quality streaming to us.
Oh, good.
And so you just kind of click on it, and then you're there. And then while we're watching the films, you can let it be a live stream on the right, and then people can chat at each other. And that can be really meaningful because you can sort of reconnect with friends and family who are also enjoying the festival with you that maybe aren't in your living room. And you get to know other people who share your commitment to conservation. So it's actually kind of fun and a little bit of a different animal than any other film festival I've ever been involved with. So I highly recommend it. And I think if you're up for it, inviting friends and family from other states becomes this really fun way to be together when we're apart. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the super cool side effect of the timing, which is our film is Friday. Our film festival is Friday, November 20th. But if you buy your tickets, you have the right to use the film festival again all the way for 6 days later. So theoretically, you could watch the film festival on Thanksgiving, which is kind of a special thing to do, given that Thanksgiving is, again, a different creature than we've had in the past.
I want to ask about the chat. Is that an oral chat, or you type in your comments with your friends?
It's a typing chat, and I think what happens is when you have that many people at the same time, it's very problematic to handle whose voice comes in when, but the chat's super organic.
Right. Okay.
I found it flowed really well.
Yeah, hopefully you'll have hundreds of people listening. So
yeah, and we do have some guests, some filmmakers and some people who are featured in the film coming to be a part of it. And they'll be doing kind of a live chat with Ellen, our executive officer. And so we can kind of be a part of that secondhand. And then and we'll also be attending online so that if people have questions for the filmmakers or the subjects of the film who are a part of our event, you can say, you know, hey, Karthik, tell me what it was like chasing this dog through the mountains that was, you know, working to help save the penguins. And he can chat at you and tell you whatever it is you want to know about the penguins, which is super fun, by the way.
So, yeah, I was interested in that film. So the Friday night event, I am busy, and so it makes me really happy to know that there's another possibility. But that one, the 6:30 to 9:30, that's in real time, and it's films and chats with the people who are coming from New Zealand and Detroit. That's in... Okay. And then... And then are the others recordings of what happens on Friday night? And do you still get them at, I mean, can you get them at any time?
Well, you can, the experience that you have from 6:30 to 9:30 is going to be filmed and available for the next 6 days. I also want to mention we have Matt Ritenour coming, who is a filmmaker who did... a film called Hammer's Dam, which is about a wonderful man who chose to take out a dam in his own creek to help restore fish populations. So they'll be a part of this as well. So you can watch the whole experience, including the live chat that will be organically like locked in with the film festival for future viewers. You won't get the live chat experience, but should you wish to reach out to individual filmmakers, we may be able to help connect you. I don't know if that's a priority for you.
Yeah, I'm curious about how that's all going to work. So when you see them, other than Friday night, I'm still, forgive my slowness, I'm still trying to, so can you listen to the Friday night or and watch the Friday night at any time? Or will
yes.
Okay.
It will be,
okay.
It will be, you know, whatever we experience together on Friday night on film will be frozen and be usable multiple times for the next 6 days.
Got it. That's great.
After we have that experience. Now, there's one more layer to the fun that I am particularly excited about, which is our local restaurant, Grana, which, you know, if you call yourself Okotopia, they're like the Holy Grail because they do a lot of sourcing from local farms and a lot of organic foods.
Including our farm, by the way.
What?
Including our farm. My son's mushrooms are often featured there.
I'm happy Turkey Tail to hear
Farm
that.
Mushrooms.
I noticed that you have a farm, and I was going to talk to you later about opportunities to purchase from you. We are happy that Grana is doing 50 dinners for two. So that's 100 dinners if you follow that.
Got it.
And each dinner for two will be charged, they'll charge $50, and then $10 of that will be donated to Friends of Butte Creek. So that's very generous of them.
Yes.
And it's a curbside pickup. And we feel like, you know, if you want to have that, you know, date night experience while you're seeing the film festival, you can go pick up your fancy meal at Grana and bring it home and, you know, really have a magical moment in 2020.
And just another technical deal. How are you handling the online auction and what kinds of things are available in the auction?
Well, the auction's going to be super fun. You can go online and look at the pictures and look at the prices that are, other people are entering in right now. I'll have to see if I might be able to give you the auctions in a moment if I look it up.
It's on our website.
So you go to www.bootcreek.org for...
Yeah.
The same place where we get the tickets is where we can access the online... auction.
I like that. Online silent auctions in person make me very nervous. You wonder who you're bidding against. You have to look people in the eye before you outbid them.
I know, it's scary. And this one, you know, if you you know, track it over time, you can slip it at the last moment and win the win the deal. So it's 32auctions.com/Butte Creek is the one that's us.
Could you say it one more time, please?
32auctions.com/Butte Creek.
Okay.
So we have 23 items, and some of our, like, fancy stuff, we have, like, if you feel like you're not going to live if you don't have that item, we have a close-the-deal-now high-end bidding price. You can contribute to support Friends of Butte Creek and get the thing that it is that you want. So, for example, I think, you know, Alan's wife, Pamela, is going to have a hard time not ending up bidding on this. We have 9 signed books by the author, Carl Safina, that the Safina Center sent us, and that's basically every book he's written. And
wow.
Those mm-hmm. are collectible because a lot of them are out of print. So,
wow.
You know, I think the low bid right now is at 50, but the walk away and own them all is 500 if somebody is really committed to that. We also have, of course, some wonderful local artists that have contributed their work. And then we have some really fun local businesses like Music Classes with Tori, and then we have La Roca Vineyards has donated some wine. Trader Joe's has given us some stuff, like a gift basket. And, I'm not saying a lot. Sierra Nevada is giving us a gift basket. Chico Bag is giving us a gift basket. Chico Chai is giving us a gift basket, CFD Soap and Scrubs. And a personal favorite, Floral Native Nursery, has given a gift certificate of $50. And I have to be honest and tell you guys that when I went to pick up my $50 gift certificate for Friends of Butte Creek, I ended up spending $50 of my own.
Yeah.
That would happen to us.
Hard not to.
Yeah.
It's a big problem. It's a big problem with a lot of the things we have. They're so beautiful that you're like, oh my goodness. So it's super fun, and we're encouraging people to recognize that, you know, this is the Friday before Black Friday, but if you want to spend money to get gifts for people for really special items, you could do a 2-for-1 and get something on our auction that, in fact, becomes a donation to Friends of Butte Creek.
Nice.
We want you to both to stay on the line. Melina, if you can. Alan, we want to talk about some of the films. We just want to take a moment. This is our pledge drive, and we want to remind listeners to pledge KZFR.
KZFR is a high-tech medium in a high-tech world. To bring you what you hear each day, we use satellites, computers, digital editors, websites, and more. You can hear KZFR online and even on your cell phone. But KZFR is still the old-fashioned, low-tech medium that we were when we started out 30 years ago. A host talks into a microphone, and it comes out of your radio.
Shazam!
If you call the station, you can actually speak to the host who's presenting the music or information you're listening to.
Golly!
We're also low-tech when it comes to paying for this station, too, and we ask the people who use it to pay for it. Our fall pledge drive is on right now, and we're asking for your contributions. Call this phone number, 601-340-KZFR. Leave a message. One of our staff members will get back to you with your contribution. Or you can donate online at kzfr.org. If you value this different type of radio station, please contribute now. Thank you.
And you're listening to KZFR. Ecotopia on KZFR. We're talking with Alan Harthorn and Melina Watts about the upcoming Wild and Scenic Film Festival.
Alan, if we can just draw on you for a second before we talk about a little bit more about Friends of Butte Creek. I know that your process in the past has been to go to the film festival in Nevada City, Grass Valley, and to choose all the films out. You and Pamela usually run around to films for a couple of days, and I wondered, is that what you did? How did you choose films this year, and were the two of you, were there others involved in selecting films?
Well, we were very fortunate this year. The film festival was on the third weekend in January, mm-hmm. as always, Martin Luther King weekend, and that was pre-COVID, so it was just the regular 4,000-person affair of we were there for 4 days, and we had two of our other board members, Todd and Jen Harris, with us. And between the four of us, we saw almost every film available
wow.
for the on-tour program. And then before it slipped out of our mind, a week later, we got together, went through a matrix, and selected our films early on. So we really lucked out.
Yeah, you sure did.
I hope it's not the last live film.
I hope so, too.
We get to go to, but we
got a vaccine
hit it just
coming.
Right this year, and we've got a great lineup, and it'll be just an interesting way to enjoy the film festival.
It will be. Melina, have you seen all of the films?
I have not seen all of the films. I came in halfway through the process when they had already selected the film, and I watched their 14 and thought, wow, this is going to be fantastic. I actually coordinated several Wild and Scenic Film Festivals in Southern California.
Oh, nice.
So I have some familiarity with the, you know, really visionary approach to fundraising that South Yuba River Citizens League has created, and I have the deepest appreciation for what a huge commitment it is for Alan, Pamela, and the board members to sit and watch all of that and make those really thoughtful decisions.
Yeah, it sounds like such a horrible thing to have to do. I mean, it's the best of worlds and the worst of worlds. So what are some favorites? Steve and I have been reading a lot of them, and they're ones that reading about them, and they're ones we're curious about. But what are yours, Alan, some of your favorites? And Melina, if you got to see any of them, what ones you really like? There's so many that sound just lovely.
Well, I'll start off with my absolute favorite, and that's the first movie of the program. It's called Hammer Dam. Melina mentioned it earlier. This is a stream on the west side of the Sacramento Valley, Cottonwood Creek, a tributary of Cottonwood Creek that is very remote. And there was a gentleman that lived up there who had a homestead, more or less, had a dam that they had built, hydroelectric generation system, and that was their sole source of power. The problem was that old dam was starting to fall apart, and also it blocked fish passage, in particular spring run Chinook salmon.
Oops.
Which are endangered and are fairly rare in California. So he was approached by a biologist from California Fish and Wildlife, and they got to talking and got to know each other and managed to work out a very good deal to replace his hydropower with solar power and remove the dam. Now, I've given away most of it.
We wondered
really
how it came out.
Great film to watch, and it's one of those things where, you know, collaboration between different entities and getting to know people and building relationships is what it's all about when it comes to restoring some of these streams. So it's my absolute favorite.
Nice.
I wonder if either of you could talk about, I want to hear about Sniper, the New Zealand.
Melina mentioned that too.
Dog, and what Sniper does to save penguins.
Well, before we get to the answer, I got to give you a spoiler, which is a beautiful one. Sniper's coming to the film festival. He'll
be
on screen talking with his ranger and the filmmaker to Alan Real in real life.
Nice.
But I'm going to let Alan answer how he does it because it's fun.
Sorry?
Alan, do you want to explain how Sniper does the magic with the penguins?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you very well.
I'm sorry.
Just tell us about Sniper and the film, please.
Well, it's a movie that I've only seen a trailer of because it wasn't one of the ones that I saw during the film fest. But the story is that there are some very rare penguins in New Zealand, and this group of people are using highly trained dogs to identify their nesting sites. And it's really a fun film, and I can't give you a whole lot more detail about it, but I think everybody will enjoy it, and Sniper is quite a character dog. So
I love dogs with jobs. It's so fun to watch dogs with jobs.
He also rescues injured penguins. He finds the wounded ones, and they have a low enough population that that's really important. And Karthik, the filmmaker who's originally from India but went to film school in New Zealand, observed that it's very difficult to film the dog when he's tracking the penguins because he gets excited and he tears off through poison ivy, and you have to do your best to keep up with him.
Great. Great. Wow.
You're listening to KZFR. Ecotopia. We want to remind you that we're in the middle of our pledge drive. We're talking with Alan Hartorn and Melina Watts. And in this age of streaming music and on-demand content, we give you an easy way to connect with local music, local arts, local issues, local people working to do film festivals. This is especially important now when so many of us feel socially isolated while we socially distance, but we can't do it with you. And the Wild and Scenic Film Festival offers you a wonderful opportunity to do just that. But you can also support KZFR. Go online to kzfr.org or give us a call at 601-340-5937.
So any other favorites, Alan, that you want to mention before we take a little break here?
Detroit Hives.
That's another one we marked.
I had a chance to Zoom with Timothy and Nicole. I wish we could have put the entire Zoom call that we had onto the film festival. It ended up at over 15 minutes, but they're just delightful people. Who came into a situation in their lives where they made a pretty significant change in their lifestyle and their approach to life and their work. And we mentioned that it's about bees and what they're doing in Detroit to help save bees, and it's a pretty amazing story, and I think something that people will really kind of bond with for kind of some of the great things that are happening in our urban areas.
One of the things that's always impressed me about the film festival is the range of kinds of films that you have. There are so many different places that you bring films from. New Zealand and Detroit and Oregon, and I'm trying to remember.
Rwanda. There's a Walk Through a Land of a Thousand Hills.
Yes.
Looks at a ranger who works 300 days out of the year. He's off in the middle of the mountains of Rwanda, making sure the animals are safe. He's just delightful.
Yeah, right. Amazing. And then focuses on individuals that are doing things that are really important and really useful. And so all of that, and I don't know, maybe it's just the mood I'm in, but these all seem particularly inspiring. You always have really good, inspiring films, but these are ones that lift your spirit, I think. Yeah.
That's exactly why we do this.
Yep, exactly. Yep, right. So we're going to take a short break. Is that right, Steve?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a second to talk a little bit more about Friends of Butte Creek.
Putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, and then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to fly. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I made
KZFR made the decision to reduce our on-air pledge drive to just 1 week in respect to the financial difficulties of our friends and local business owners.
At KZFR, we're rolling up our sleeves to continue to provide local news and information and cutting-edge music 24 hours a day.
But we can't do it without you.
Help us keep the meters moving by making a contribution at kzfr.org/donate.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and we are talking with Alan Harthorn and
Melina Watts.
Melina Watts. I'm so sorry, Melina. I don't have your name in front of me, and so I can't say it. What we're going to do now, we're going to come back and talk a little, you know, catch the details that are important about getting tickets and so forth. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the work of the Friends of Butte Creek. I know it's been a pretty eventful 2 years since the campfire. And so, Alan, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the kinds of things that the Friends of Butte Creek, we just talked with Matthew Trum a couple of weeks ago, and we know that he was involved with Friends of Butte Creek when after the campfire when you were trying to save Butte Creek. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened after the fire and what you did?
Sure. It actually was about a week after the fire had started. We were still evacuated from Butte Creek, and we had found out through fire sources that our house and our neighborhood had been saved, and it was like the greatest relief you could ever imagine. And my thoughts immediately turned to the salmon. Knowing how much destruction there had been, and the fact that in the first week of November, juvenile salmon are just starting to come out of the gravel on Butte Creek as little tiny alevin, and are as sensitive as they could ever possibly be in their life stages. So with all the potential runoff from burned out structures, we started rallying some of the agencies, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service offered us $5,000 worth of straw wattles to put around the burned out structures and try to protect the creek. And we realized that we could actually fill up a second truck if we put in some money of our own. So we wrote a check for $3,000 and filled up the second truck and had about 5 miles worth of straw wattles delivered to Payless Lumber, who generously let us use their yard to distribute them. And from there, they were dispatched out in various pickup trucks and trailers to a number of different locations. We had a couple different staging areas up in Butte Creek Canyon, and from there we organized groups of volunteers, a total of about 70 volunteers, some from some of the state and federal agencies, probably four or five different agency groups helped out with us. But a lot of local citizens as well, including Matthew Trum, who was a great person to meet at that time because he has a very great program with permaculture, and it's something that you really think about when your landscape has been totally burned over, and it's like, well, maybe we can put this back together the way it should be. So that was all great. We managed to get in most of the wattles before the first really heavy rainstorm, which came 10 days later. And I feel like we probably saved, you know, half of the runoff. It was impossible to get it all, but we did a pretty good job of protecting about 70 different homes. We didn't have permissions to go everywhere, but we went wherever we could get landowner permission. So that was the first big effort. Since then, we have kind of taken a closer look at some of the landscape factors on Butte Creek that perhaps contributed to the fire intensity, and recognize that there are areas in the lower canyon that are really leftover piles of mining debris from literally 100-plus years of gold mining, gravel mining, sand, you name it. Everything they could possibly extract out of Butte Creek, they took with monstrous dredgers, dredgers that were as big as the old covered bridge used to be. So, I'm sure most people are familiar with some of the huge rock piles. For every one of those rock piles, there's a rock pit where the rocks were dug from. There are half a dozen or so fairly decent-sized tailing ponds that are still remaining in the tailing piles. And interestingly, there used to be a couple tailing piles in the lower canyon right below the covered bridge, and there was a development that was proposed around those two tailing ponds. This was back in the early 80s. And it was actually approved by the Board of Supervisors. The people of Butte Creek Canyon were so upset with it that we got a ballot initiative on the next election, and the voters of Butte County rejected the development. And that was probably the only time anything like that has ever happened. But the people of Butte County said, we don't think condos on the creek in Butte Creek Canyon is a good idea.
That's great. Wow.
It turns out, just a few years later, a major flood came through, broke through the levee into the upper pond, and the ponds were very, very deep. So once the creek got into that pond, it dropped its previous course and plowed through those ponds and completely destroyed them and everything in its path. And that was kind of the end of that whole idea of ever doing any kind of development in Butte Creek Canyon. So anyway, that area has grown back with a type of vegetation that is very dry. Those tailing piles have no connection to the water table. And that vegetation burns really hot when the wind's blowing through it, like it did in the campfire and back in the 2008 in the Humboldt fire. And this one was so severe that it was kind of plainly obvious that there was a problem out there. So we have been working with California State University Chico and their Ecological Preserve Program.
Yes.
Who own a 93-acre preserve in Lower Canyon. And then the California Fish and Wildlife have another 283 or 87 acres just downstream connected to that, where a lot of these ponds are located. And we have put in a couple of proposals to do a complete survey of that area and look at how it might be possible to reshape the landscape and create a more natural riparian corridor with a meandering stream with point bars and sandy bars and, you know, eroding hillsides and all of the elements that are kind of the natural sequence in a stream like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about all of this is that for salmon, all of those habitat types are important. And what we have there now is a stream that's running through piles of cobble, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very little quality habitat for adult salmon moving upstream and juvenile salmon on their way downstream.
What a great project.
So we're hoping to convince the agencies to help us do some projects to start improving some of these areas.
I want to take a brief break to remind you, you're listening to KZFR, and this is Ecotopia. Susan and I have been doing this program now for about 12 years. We've had wonderful local guests. We've had Alan on the air a number of times to talk about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. We've also had nationally prominent speakers, such as Carl Safina, whose books are going to be auctioned off as part of the Wild and Scenic Festival. We're grateful to KZFR supporters for providing support for this program, as we are to our underwriters and to the Corporation for public broadcasting which chips in. KZFR is a very economical station. We don't spend a lot of money piping in canned programs. Almost all of it is original and loco. Here's a chance for you to support it. Give us a call, please, 601-340-5937 or go to kzfr.org.
You also were involved in, that project sounds amazing, and we've also talked with Eli Goodsell, who's the boss of the preserve and the reserve,
right.
up in Forest Ranch and down by you. So you also had a project to save trees along Centerville Road and Honey Run Road. And there was a lot of removal of trees after the fire. How did you save these trees?
Well, there was an initial program that the Butte County Public Works conducted. They hired an arborist firm out of Modesto, I believe it was, somewhere down in the valley in that area, who came up here and assessed, I think it was something on the order of 780 trees along Centerville Road and Honey Run Road, and determined that they should all be cut down. And we started recognizing the different marks that they were putting on the trees, and saw a number of really, you know, valuable, healthy trees that were marked to be cut down, and started asking questions of the Public Works Department. And they were a little taken back at first, and you know, said, you know, we've got to get these trees out. You know, it's like the arborist said they've got to go. And, you know, we argued that, you know, many of these trees had very few burn scars on them. Some had none, but were perhaps unhealthy for other reasons, but not in dire straits. So we started going out and photographing the trees and using the geolocation on the photographs, and sending that information into the County Public Works Department, and they agreed that we were right on some of these trees, and they worked with us pretty well through the first stage of the process. We marked probably 60 to 80 trees, and that was just three people that went out and did the best they could. And you know, this is miles and miles of roadside.
Yes.
So it was quite a challenge. But
great.
Out of those 80 trees or so, we probably saved 65 to 70 of them.
Wow.
Some of them that are really kind of unique, rare hybrid oak species. So we felt pretty good about that. Of course, now they're coming back and doing a second round of resetting.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, and we've been there ourselves with
I'm sure
trying to
up
save
in your
trees.
Area, it's
yeah,
been the same way.
Right. And we're starting to run a little bit short on time, but I wanted to touch on two more things. First of all, you helped by writing a grant and provided matching funds to have the Butte Creek Canyon Fire Company upgrade their fire equipment.
Yes, that was another outcome of the campfire.
Okay.
We realized how desperately lean we are in fire equipment in the canyon, and unfortunately so lean that when the campfire started, our equipment was called out to Concow, and we were, you know, nobody expected the fire to come back to Butte Creek Canyon so fast, and there was, you know, literally no fire equipment left in the canyon. So I look at, you know, grant opportunities quite often, and I saw one from the California Fire Foundation, and they offered up to $15,000 for you know, fire departments to upgrade their equipment. So I put together a proposal with the Butte Creek Canyon volunteers and requested the full $15,000 to buy it's called a skid unit. It fits in the back of I'm guessing it's a large pickup truck. I have not seen this yet.
Mm-hmm.
but it is a tank and a pumping unit, and it has the ability to pump both water and foam, which is critical for a lot of fire protection efforts. And essentially, as the fire captain in the canyon here told me, this is probably the best first strike unit that they could possibly have here in the canyon, because some fires, start out as, a chimney fire,
yeah,
or something like that.
Small. Mm-hmm. And
certainly at the wrong time of the year with the wind blowing, anything like that can get out of control very quickly. And getting, big engines up the road and on to, some of the remote locations up here is very difficult. So
yeah,
this is a much more versatile pickup truck, and it's got the capability of knocking down a fire right away and foaming decks if it needs to. And the fire department is really excited about it. And I just happened to talk to the captain today, and he told me that they have finally gotten it back from the shop. It's in their firehouse, and he's going to send me a picture. So cool. I can't tell you how excited I am.
That's pretty exciting. And then quickly, we just have really literally just a couple more minutes. We want to hear about the salmon count. It's good.
It was way down this year, but I am an eternal optimist with Butte Creek, because I've seen some of these fluctuations, and I know it always rebounds. Last year we had 15,000.
Yeah, okay.
This year we have 1,500.
Oh, boy.
But I look back 3 years ago to where these fish came from, and there were only 500 fish that were actually counted in the final carcass count.
Okay.
There were probably a few more than that the bears got. But it was a very low year in 2017, so it just makes sense that it would be a lower year this year. But the fact that we got 1,500 is actually pretty good.
After all the
trauma, the water conditions we've been dealing with for the last number of years.
Right. And quickly, really quickly again, we need to hear one more time about the festival plans, the date, the time, the cost of the tickets, and where to buy them.
It is November 20th, Friday, a week from this coming Friday. And the beauty of this virtual film festival is you can order your tickets and watch the films anytime between Friday night and Thursday night, Thanksgiving Day.
Nice.
The tickets are $12. This is kind of a new thing, having this online set up, but there are options to make a $20 donation to Butte Creek, a $50 donation, or a $100 donation. And we've had quite a few people who have stepped up and included a $100 donation to us. So we greatly appreciate that. We've got some exciting news that we will share with you on the film festival.
Tune in.
Say how much
good.
I appreciate everybody's support.
And they get the tickets at www.buttecreek.com. Butte, what's the email or the URL for buying their tickets?
ButteCreek.org.
ButteCreek.org. Okay, and there you can find your tickets. Thank you so much, Alan. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
And Melina Watts.
And
as
Melina
well.
Watts, thank you so much to both of you for joining us. It sounds like you have a really great thing going, and I'm looking forward to it. So,
well, we're excited about it, and I just want to thank you all for what you do. It's one of the best programs on KZFR, and I urge all the listeners of this program tonight to donate to KZFR.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night, you guys.
Good night. Thank you.
Entertained and educated. We're not only here to provide you with up-to-the-minute coverage and cutting-edge music, but to keep you, the listener, engaged with the community. Cure the stay-at-home blues by tuning into your favorite local personality only at 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. Times may seem perilous, but you can make a big difference when you donate now. Give now at KZFR.org/donate.
You've been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR. Remember to go to kzfr.org today to make a pledge or give us a call at 601-340-5937. Up next, Ginger Nichols with Radioactive. Thanks for listening.
Weave, weave, weave me the sunshine out of the falling rain. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow and fill my cup again. Sing it with me. Concrete crumble, shine on me again. The proud and the mighty all have stumbled, shine on me again now. Weave me the sunshine out of the falling, out of the falling. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow.